Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all-auspicious Lord Sri Krishna, about whom glorification, remembrances, audience, prayers, hearing and worship can at once cleanse the effects of all sins of the performer. Purport. The sublime form of religious performances to free oneself from all reactions of sins is suggested herein by the greatest authority, Sri Shukadeva Goswami. Kirtanam, or glorifying the Lord, can be performed in very many ways, such as remembering, visiting temples to see the deity, offering prayers in front of the Lord, and hearing recitations of glorification of the Lord mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. Kirtanam can be performed both by singing the glories of the Lord in accompaniment with melodious music and by recitation of scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. The devotees need not be disappointed in the physical absence of the Lord, though they may think of not being associated with Him. The devotional process of chanting, hearing, remembering, etc., either all or some of them, or even one of them, can give us the desired result of associating with the Lord by discharging the transcendental loving service of the Lord in the above manner. Even the very sound of the holy name of Lord Krishna or Rama can at once surcharge the atmosphere spiritually. We must know definitely that the Lord is present wherever such pure transcendental service is performed, and thus the performer of a fenceless kirtanam has positive association with the Lord. Similarly, remembrance and prayers also can give us the desired result if they are properly done under expert guidance. One should not concoct forms of devotional service. One may worship the form of the Lord in a temple, or one may impersonally offer the Lord devotional prayers in a mosque or a church. One is sure to get free from the reactions of sins, provided one is very careful about not committing sins willingly in expectation of getting free from the reactions by worshipping in the temple or by offering prayers in the church. This mentality of committing sins willfully on the strength of devotional service is called Namno Baladyasya Hipapa Buddhi, and it is the greatest offense in the discharge of devotional service. Hearing, therefore, is essential in order to keep oneself strictly on guard against such pitfalls of sins. And in order to give special stress to the hearing process, the Goswami invokes all auspicious fortune in this matter. Read the verse again. Yad kirtanam yad smadanam yad ikshanam yad vandanam yad stravanam yad arhanam lokasya sadyo vidhunoti kamasham tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all auspicious Lord Sri Krishna, about whom glorification, remembrances, audience, prayers, hearing, and worship can at once cleanse the effects of all sins of the performer. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gadave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, if we look at the Sanskrit in this verse, it's quite easy to understand, like a little beginner's class in Sanskrit. So, does anybody remember what yat means? Yeah, whose? So, yat kirtanam. Yad smaranam, yad ikshanam. So we know what kirtan and smaranam are. Do we know what ikshanam means? Sorry? Audience, yeah. That's right, audience. Vandanam we know. Travanam, as Mataji correctly pointed out, it's not shravanam in the verse, but travanam because of the yach. And then arhanam, can we figure out what arhanam means? Similar to another word that we often use. Worshipping, yeah. Like similar to archanam. And then the next ones are a little bit harder. So lokasya means of all people. Sadya means forthwith, and then vitunoti. Does anybody recognize this word from any other verses in the Bhagavatam? Have you heard that before? Vitunoti suritsatam, that's right. So that whole verse is Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punyashravana Kirtanam Hridyantasto Hyabhadrani Vidhunoti Suritsatam. Do we know what it means, Vidhunoti? Everybody has their phones in front of them, so they should know. Anybody? Yeah, cleanses. And it's the same in that verse, in the first canto. Krishna cleanses the hearts of the devotees who have developed the urge to hear topics about him. And then kalmasham. Anybody know what that means? That's also mentioned in a very famous verse in the Bhagavatam. Anybody remember that? Sorry? Yeah, that's right. And anybody remember the verse where that's mentioned? Sorry? Yeah, that's not the one I was thinking of, but yeah, these words are mentioned in different verses. Any others? How about Tavakatamritam? Tavakatamritam tapta jivinam kaviriditam kalmashapaham shravanamangalam shrimadatatam bhuvigrinantiye buddhidajanaha. So there it's a compound word in the 10th canto, kalmasha apaham, that which drives away sinful reactions. But when I heard this verse, and those words seemed familiar, so I looked them up. And then the last line, tasmai means unto you. We hear that lots of times. Subhadra is not Subhadra Devi on the altar in Soho Street. But do we know what that means, Subhadra? Auspicious, yeah, all auspicious, it says here. Shravase, we can guess that one. Hearing, it means one who is heard in this line. And then the last two words, Namo Namaha, we know that, right? What does it mean? Obeisances, yeah. So it's saying that person who is glorified, who is remembered, of whose audience one can get, who is offered prayers, who is heard about, who is worshipped, that person purifies everybody, the whole world, very quickly of unwanted things in the heart, and I offer my obeisances unto him. So that's what it means. So quite easy to understand, the Sanskrit in this verse. And the verse is all about how if we hear about Krishna and glorify him and these other processes, then immediately we become purified. Prabhupada says that the atmosphere immediately becomes purified when Krishna is glorified. Oh yeah, here it is. Even the very sound of the holy name of Lord Krishna or Ram can at once surcharge the atmosphere spiritually. I think we can experience that when we, well, in any situation, when we have kirtan, or say you go into an atmosphere that's not surcharged spiritually, but surcharged materially by the modes of material nature. Say you go home to visit your parents or something like that, and then you sit down and you chant japa after, you know, some time, then you feel better, you feel more surcharged spiritually. Or if you go out on book distribution, he was saying that recently, my spiritual master was saying how he would send devotees to different places on book distribution, and one place he would send them to is Bracknell. And when he would say, okay, can you go to Bracknell, the devotees would start crying and say, no, please don't send me to Bracknell. Can I go somewhere else? So if you go out somewhere on book distribution, it's grey, it's drizzly, it's, you know, people look miserable. You go out, it's like, oh my, what's going to happen here? And after some time, you distribute some books, you get into the groove, then it becomes surcharged spiritually. And people even come up to you, or people become enthused and enlivened, and so many wonderful things happen just because the holy name of the Lord is present. So Srila Prabhupada makes some subtle points, I think, in the purport here, some interesting points. One is that he mentions We must know definitely that the Lord is present wherever such pure transcendental service is performed, and thus the performer of offenseless kirtanam has positive association with the Lord. Similarly, remembrance and prayers also can give us the desired result if they are properly done under expert guidance. I thought it was interesting how Prabhupada phrased that, that these different processes are mentioned in the verse. And Prabhupada says, similarly, remembrance and prayers also can give us the desired result if they are properly done under expert guidance. So I got from that that it's remembrance and prayers are also extremely important, but Shravanam Kirtanam is the basis, is the main thing. If we're hearing about Krishna, the whole devotional process begins with hearing Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam, that it begins with hearing and chanting. And then if one does hear correctly, and if one chants correctly, then the natural thing is that that impression is left within the mind, and then you can remember Krishna. And then we can also offer prayers to Krishna. But it's dependent upon hearing and chanting. And Prabhupada mentions here that if they are done under expert guidance, he doesn't say that about hearing and chanting in the verse, although obviously, you know, we should do things under guidance, but he doesn't mention that that needs to be specifically arranged. But he does mention that in terms of remembrance and prayers. Actually, remembrance is extremely important in devotional service, but it comes from purification of the heart. Just like when we chant the holy name, then we're not supposed to chant the holy name and think about other things, as I often do, chant the holy name and just naturally think, what am I going to do today, and organize my plans and try not to do that. But the real effect of chanting the holy name is that you remember Krishna. And as one advances in devotional service and you remember Krishna, you're absorbed in Krishna, and then you think of his qualities and you think of his pastimes ultimately as well. So when devotees are advanced and they can hear the holy name properly and they're not disturbed by other thoughts, then they will be able to remember Krishna at the same time and become immersed in his pastimes also. But it's dependent upon the hearing and chanting, so that is the main and primary thing, and I thought it was interesting how Prabhupada phrased it here in the purport. Another point I thought was interesting that Prabhupada didn't have to put in the purport here is he says that one may worship the form of the Lord in a temple, or one may impersonally offer the Lord devotional prayers in a mosque or a church. So he makes that one point that one can worship in the temple like we do, chanting Hare Krishna, wearing a dhoti in front of the deities. It's our process, our culture. Or you can also worship Krishna in a mosque or a church or a synagogue or in any other place. It's also worshiping the Lord. And Prabhupada is mentioning it here in the Bhagavatam, in a purport, that that's also fine, that's also bona fide. So we shouldn't think, yeah, someone's Muslim or someone's Christian, it's bad, or it's not bona fide, or they're not connecting to the Lord. So we should understand in a broader sense that that's also good, and they're also connecting to Krishna, they're also worshipping the Lord, as it mentions in the verse Ardhanam. And I used to experience when I was going on book distribution that when you'd meet somebody, and I could tell when someone was a Christian and they're actually practicing nicely. You'd meet them and they wouldn't be like the average person on the street. They would have more purity. They would be more personal, more well-rounded individual. They had a bit of a glow to them. Not the Christians who come and, you know, try and destroy your day on book distribution, but the Christians who are actually practicing nicely and who believe in God and are depending on God and have faith in God and are doing some service for Him, going to the church and praying and studying their scriptures. Prabhupada is saying here in the purport, that's also bona fide. That's also fine. That's also good. But he's also saying, or one may worship the form of the Lord in a temple, as we do. We glorify and serve Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. Or one may impersonally offer the Lord devotional prayers in a mosque or a church. So he's also making that point that although it's bona fide and although it's good, And although that's why Jesus Christ came and that's why Muhammad came, is to give people a path back to God at a time when there wasn't an active path, really. It's also not on the same level. It's not as personal as worshipping the deity. And although we often say hearing and chanting is the most important, and I know when I was a Sangatan leader in Soho Street, I often said book distribution is more important than deity worship. But we shouldn't underestimate the power of deity worship, that it really helps us to have a personal conception of God. You can't not have a personal conception of God when you have a deity. You're seeing the deity every day on the altar. We're becoming accustomed to the culture of making garlands for the deities, dressing the deities, bathing the deities, cooking for the deities, eating the food that's offered to them. So it just forces us to develop a personal conception of God, which is very, very important. Because if one just chants and hears, that's okay, but you may not, like I was saying, one can chant the holy name, try and chant attentively and think of so many other things. It's difficult when you come in the temple to not see the deities or not look at the deities. It's just there, you can't avoid it. So Prabhupada is making that point that yes, these other forms of worship are bona fide, but they may not be on the same level. And then Srila Prabhupada goes on and mentions this point about a sinful mentality. Does anybody remember the Sanskrit that he mentioned there in terms of committing sins willfully on the strength of devotional service? No? Yeah, namno baladyasya. So that is one of the 10 offenses against the holy name. So it's very nice that we recite the 10 offenses against the holy name every morning. We don't do the Sanskrit though, although it's nice to know. I learned that a long time ago and have since forgotten most of it. But it's down here, although I don't have the word for word translation, unfortunately. If anybody has it or can find it, then please send it to me. It would be nice to have the word for word translation for it. But that is the 7th offense against the holy name. Namno baladyasya hi papa buddhir, navidyate tasya yamayan hi shuddhi. To think that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra can counteract all sinful reactions, and one may therefore go on with his sinful activities and at the same time chant the Hare Krishna Mantra to neutralize them, this is the greatest offense at the lotus feet of the holy name. So we probably know an example of that in these other religions that we've mentioned. I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be that, but when people go for confession, often it turns into that in the Catholic Church. I've never been to confession. Who's been to confession here before? David? Good Irish boy. Anybody else? No one on the mat, did you say? Okay, so it's a good thing, and it's structured, and it's there. It makes accountability. Okay, I did something. I don't know what one would have done, but the normal things. And then at the end of the week, I have to go to the priest, and I'm going to tell him that I did this. So, I mean, it definitely helps. It makes you more conscious. But if you're just going to go and say, Father, I've sinned, you know, I did this, I watched Netflix, or I don't know what I did, went to KFC or whatever, then the priest says, okay, well then, what would he say, David? 3 Hail Marys and 5 Hail Marys for going to KFC. It's 5. And then you say, okay, and you do that, and then you go back to KFC on the Monday morning. So I've cleansed myself of my sins, now I'm cool, now I can start again. But that's not sincere. It's not honest in devotional service. And Prabhupada condemns this mentality and says that this is the greatest offense against the holy name. And Prabhupada talks about this also in another of his books. And he mentions this, the Sanskrit of this verse again. And he talks about this mood of atonement. Does anybody remember what book he talks about that in? It's right in the beginning. It's like the first thing he talks about in that book. Sorry? Yeah, nectar of instruction. Yeah. So the first verse, Vajravegam Manasakarodavegam, and the first words in the purport of Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada talks about that. I knew it was there and I was going to look, and but I didn't realize it's like the first thing Srila Prabhupada talks about. And it's quite in depth. I mean, it would be interesting to read the whole thing, but we don't really have time. No, we didn't have time. But Srila Prabhupada is saying that Parikshit Maharaj was asking Shukadeva Goswami, why is it that people undergo atonement if they can't control their senses? And Srila Prabhupada gives, or Shukadeva Goswami actually gives the example of an elephant. So an elephant, he'll go to a river and have a bath. And then as soon as he gets out of the bath, he'll roll around in the dust next to the river. So there's no point in the activities that he's performed. So if we perform spiritual activities, but then we continue to commit sinful activities, thinking that we'll get purified by the holy name, then we're wasting our time. And we may think, yeah, that's okay, I'm not going to KFC, I'm not going to my priest, I'm not performing any sinful activities. But we also hear that it's an offense to the holy name to maintain material attachments. So it's the same thing, basically, just on a more subtle platform, that we're coming, we're chanting, we're trying to focus on the holy name, we're serving the devotees. But then are we still maintaining material attachments and in that way lengthening our residence in this material world? So we should be careful not to perform that offense against the holy name and advance more seriously in our spiritual life. And then another point here that Srila Prabhupada makes in the purport, which is also an interesting way that Srila Prabhupada phrased it in the beginning of the second chapter. He says, the devotees need not be disappointed in the physical absence of the Lord, though they may think of not being associated with him. The devotional process of chanting, hearing, remembering, etc., can give us a desired result of associating with the Lord by discharging the transcendental loving service of the Lord in the above manner. So it's interesting how Prabhupada says that the devotees shouldn't be disappointed that the Lord is not there, even though they don't feel his presence. And he's making the point that if one is chanting and hearing, then the Lord is present. So that is It's an important topic in devotional service, that feeling separation from the Lord, and that chanting Krishna's holy names can give devotees relief and satisfaction from that. Just like I was saying, if one goes home, you see your parents, but you're in a tamasic atmosphere and there's no devotees around, then you feel bad, you feel like you Mister, maybe I'm saying this because I'm going to Scotland in a couple of weeks to see my dad. But it's just the way it goes. You go home and then you feel, you know, I'm glad I didn't stay in the material world. I'm glad I became a devotee. And then when you chant the holy name, then you feel some reciprocation from Krishna, not just because it's a process that we're following, not just because it's like a program that I started or like a video that I'm watching or something that I've plugged into or that I flicked a switch. So we go into a room and it's dark, we flick a switch and then it's light. Okay, now it's solved. No, when you chant the holy name, it's not anything impersonal. It's because Krishna is there. Krishna is there in his holy name. And when I associate with Krishna, when I touch Krishna, when I engage with Krishna, then I feel illuminated, then I feel relieved, then I feel happy. So we know that Krishna is non-different than his holy name. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukto Binatvan Nama Naminaho. So Binatvan Nama Naminaho means he's not different. Abinatvan Nama Naminaho. Bina means different. Bina Prakriti Ashtada. So these material elements, they're different from Krishna. But in this verse, it's saying that the holy name is Abhinatvan. It's not different than Krishna, who is the possessor of the name. So Krishna is the same as his name, and devotees feel happy, devotees feel enlivened, devotees feel satisfied when they chant the holy name of the Lord, because they're associating with the Lord directly and because he's there. But just Prabhupada brought up this topic of feeling separation from Krishna, and it's a very important topic in our line. It's something that Prabhupada spoke about also at various times, and I'll just mention a little bit that he spoke about here. This was on Radhashtami, Srimati Radharani's appearance day. It doesn't say where when what year it was that I can see. Shishu Radha Gokula Nandaki Jai. Prabhupada is speaking on this topic, and he says here that Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he has accepted the propensities of Radharani. As Radharani is always in feelings of separation from Krishna, similarly, in the position of Radharani, Lord Chaitanya was feeling separation of Krishna. That is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, feelings of separation, not meeting. The process of devotional service taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his disciplic succession is how to feel separation from Krishna. That is Radharani's position, always feeling the separation. The Goswamis, they also, when they were in Vrindavan, they never said that, I have seen Krishna. Although they were the most perfect, they never said that, I have seen Krishna. Their prayers were like this. Hey Radhe Vrajadeviki, Hey Nandasuno Kata, Hey Radhe Radharani, Hey Radhe Vrajadeviki Cha. Radharani does not remain alone. She remains always with her friends, Vrajadevi, Lalita or Vishakha, and other damsels of Vrindavan. So the Goswamis are praying in their mature stage. When they were living at Vrindavan, they were praying in this way. Hey Radhe Vrajadevi Ke Chalalite, Hey Nandasunan Kuta. Where, Radharani, where are you? Where are your associates? Where you are, Nandasuno, the son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna? Where you are, all they were searching after. They never said, I have seen Krishna dancing with the gopis. Last night I saw, and it says laughter in brackets. I'm assuming that's Prabhupada laughing. This is sahaja. This is not mature devotee. This is called, they are called sahaja. They take everything very cheap. Krishna very cheap. Radharani very cheap. As if they can see every night. No, the Goswamis do not teach us like that. They're searching after. Hey Radhe Vrajadevi Ke Chalalite Hey Nandasuno Kuta Shri Govardhana Padapa Tale Kalindi Vane Kuta. Are you there under the Govardhana hill or on the banks of the Yamuna? Kalindi Vane Kuta Goshantav Itisaravato Vajapure Kedar Mahavivalo. Their business was crying like this. Where you are Radharani. Where you are Lalita Vishaka, the associates of Radharani. So Prabhupada continues talking about that. But he's making the point that in devotional service, then the mood that's given to us by our acharyas is that mood of separation. Do we know what separation is in Sanskrit? Vipalamba. And there's another word also? Viraha. Yeah, usually we say Vipalamba and Sambhog, but also Viraha. I just looked it up in the Vedabase, and the first one that came up was this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it says Viraha Sarpa. And the verse is saying the snake of separation bit Lakshmi Devi, and its poison caused her death. Thus she passed to the next world. She went back home, back to Godhead. So this is talking about, I haven't checked, but I'm assuming it's Lakshmi Priya who left in separation from the Lord, and it's saying Viraha Sarpa. The serpent of separation. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that this is the mood of Srimati Radharani. This is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the mood of the six Goswamis, that Krishna, where are you? Hey Radhe Vrajadevi Ke Chalalite. Where are you? Are you here? Are you there? And it's an interesting point that Prabhupada says, not meeting. Because how can you have separation without meeting? You can't have separation without meeting. It's not that the Goswamis were eternally just looking for Krishna and they never saw Krishna, or they never contacted Krishna. Or that Srimati Radharani always wants to meet with Krishna, but she never finds him. You have to have both, and they both nourish one another. Just like we experience in relationships, I think, especially in the Grihastha ashram, but in any relationship, that if you're with somebody and you like that person, or even if you don't like that person, if you're with somebody, you can appreciate them to some degree, you have a relationship. But when you go away from them, then you miss them, and you think, you know, how much I want to be with them, and you think of their good qualities. Even if it's somebody that you have a difficult time with, when you go away, then you think, oh, it's not so bad, and we had these good times together as well. So it's exactly the same principle. And this is the mood that we need to cultivate in our devotional service. But it's not that there's only separation. There has to be some bhoga as well. There has to be meeting as well. And the two complement one another. And this topic comes up in various times in Srimad Bhagavatam. In the first canto, then we hear about the history of Narada Muni. Narada Muni in his previous life as the son of the maidservant. And after he serves the Bhaktivedantas, it's explained that it was actually Lord Shiva and his associates who came to deliver Narada Muni. When they left, then his mother got bit by a snake and died, coincidentally. And then Narada Muni just left and traveled. And when he sat down and meditated as the Bhaktivedantas had taught him, then he immediately saw the Lord. He saw the form of the Lord. But he only saw it briefly, and then the Lord disappeared. And Narada Muni, after having seen Krishna or Vishnu, and then experiencing that separation, then his attachment was all the greater. And Vishnu at that time said to him that, I regret that in this life you're not going to see me again. So can you imagine the pain? I mean, it's difficult for us to imagine, because I'm assuming that we haven't seen Krishna or Vishnu personally, had his Sakshat Darshan. But just imagine if somebody said, okay, you have to go away now from ISKCON, and in this life you're not going to be able to come back again. You're not going to be able to come back and see the deities or see the devotees or take prasadam. You have to, you know, go and live in north of Scotland somewhere and just be there. So we'd feel like, you know, I've just lost everything. I lost my wealth of devotional service, and, you know, I've lost everything. My path, my fulfillment, you know, that would be so much pain. What to speak of if it's a personal attachment to a person, to Krishna? Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he got the darshan of Krishna, and he just thought, you know, what I wanted was just meaningless. I've just been endeavoring for a kingdom greater than my father's, greater than my grandfather's, and now, you know, I just want you, I just want to be with you. And when Krishna said, no, you wanted that, I'll give it to you. So Krishna does that to purify our hearts. He uses it as a tool to help us advance in devotional service. And he didn't just do that with Narada Muni. He does it with his intimate associates as well. So there are verses also when, in the 10th canto, when we're hearing about Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, that Krishna he calls the gopis out for the rasa dance. So he plays his flute and different gopis hear his flute song. And many of them just leave straight away. So some of them are breastfeeding their babies, they just leave their babies there. Hungry. Can mothers imagine? Do we have any? How many mothers do we have? Like, I know we have mothers, but like, you actually have children too. Only two. So you're breastfeeding your baby, And then you hear the sound of the Harinam, and you just put your baby down. Sit. Just go. Can you imagine the attachment that the gopis had for Krishna? Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And the culture in these days was so strong. Like we hear all the time about, you know, Jatila, Katila, Radharani's sister-in-law and mother-in-law. It's extremely strict, the culture, the Vedic culture, that Radharani cannot be known to be having a relationship with Krishna, and it's all clandestine, it's all unknown, and just happens in the dead of night, because it's so strict that if someone's married, they're married. But the gopis go through all of these austerities to attain Krishna. And when they heard Krishna's flute song, then they put their babies down, they're cooking, the milk is on the stove, they just leave, it's just not there, it's just irrelevant for them. Doesn't matter if the milk boils over, burns the house down, it doesn't exist anymore. They heard Krishna's flute song and then they're gone, they just run out the door. And even there were gopis, their husbands tried to stop them. So it's already, how do you say it in English? I need like a Hungarian translator, Nyorvanosh. It's already obvious they're leaving the house. It's nighttime. They're going out somewhere. Their husband's stopping them. Their mothers-in-law, their family members are stopping them. You can't go. Where are you going? So they're not doing it secretly anymore. They just have to go. And then some of them are stopped from going. And because they have so much attachment for Krishna, they can't live without Krishna, they leave their body. So the gopis are going through all of this. Another thing that the gopis give up, which is an intrinsic part of Vedic culture, is their shyness also. So there's one name of Srimati Radharani, Lajita Gaurangi. So it means Radharani who's shy. So that's another thing that the gopis give up to be with Krishna, is their reluctance or their shyness. But anyway, the gopis go, they go through all of this, and then they're going through the forest in nighttime, and it's not like England where the most dangerous thing you're going to encounter is a fox or a badger or an adder. There's, you know, this is India, so there's tigers and lions and elephants and dangerous animals out there in the nighttime. These are just young girls. They're not accustomed to traveling probably anywhere very much. It may be different with the gopis. Prabhupada said that his mother, when she would go somewhere, and this was just, 100 years ago, she would go in palanquin. She wouldn't be walking on the streets. So girls won't be traveling through the forest, walking miles. They're protected and looked after. So they're going through the forest in the middle of the night, half dressed, not dressed properly, not decorated properly. Their babies are crying at home. Their house may well be burning down. At least there's a lot of milk on the floor. Their in-laws are aghast at what they've done. And then they go to meet Krishna, and they see him and they find him. And then Krishna says, "Welcome, nice to see you, but you should go home. Why did you come here? Why did you come here in the middle of the night? That's not very appropriate, is it? That's not the duty of a married woman. Not the duty of a married woman to be out in the middle of the night. Why are you here? To see the beauty of Vrindavan forest? It's very beautiful, isn't it? Look how many nice flowers there are." He says, "But you shouldn't be here. You should go home." So the gopis are like, they don't understand. They've given up everything, more than everything, to see Krishna. And he says, you should go home. So then they speak to Krishna and they argue with him a little bit. And he says, okay. And then they stay. And then they begin the rasa dance. So they're dancing all together. Everybody's happy. It's the perfection of their lives and the perfection of devotional service. And then at one point, Krishna disappears again from the middle of the rasa dance with Srimati Radharani. And then after time, he just disappears totally. And the gopis are also, they're thinking, you know, that how is this? Why is this? They're searching for Krishna. And at that point, they're the most absorbed in Krishna. They go mad in remembrance of Krishna. So they actually start to enact Krishna's pastimes. Then one gopi acts as Putana, and the other gopi acts like she's sucking her breast, and she's Krishna, and she's going to kill Putana. Another gopi acts like Trinavarta. Another gopi acts like Krishna lifting Govardhan here. They just become mad in remembrance of Krishna. So we can see that their absorption then in Krishna is even greater than when Krishna was there with them personally. And when they start to look around for Krishna and eventually he comes back, then the gopis are very angry with him. And they won't look at him straight on. They're very angry. And they say, why do you do that? Why do you leave? We've given everything to you. We don't have any more to give. And you just treat us like dolls and just do whatever you want. And then Krishna says, and Krishna explains. This is the 10th canto, 32:21. Evam mad ato jita lokaveda spanam hi vo mai anuvrittaye bala maya paroksham bhajata tirohitam masuyitam marhata tat priyam priyaha. My dear girls, understanding that simply for my sake you had rejected the authority of worldly opinion, of the Vedas, and of your relatives, I acted as I did only to increase your attachment to me. Even when I removed myself from your sight by suddenly disappearing, I never stopped loving you. Therefore, my beloved gopis, please do not harbor any bad feelings toward me, your beloved. And then the next verse is Napare ham niravajya samjitam. That I'm not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within the lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. So, Krishna is not ungrateful. He understands exactly what the devotees are going through. But he disappears in various circumstances just to enhance the devotees' devotion for him and to purify their hearts. And that's actually why Krishna left Vrindavan also. When Krishna was in Vrindavan, then the inhabitants of Vrindavan were so absorbed in Krishna, loving Krishna so much, that they were always fearful that he was going to leave, that he was going to leave Vrindavan. So Krishna calculated that they're in so much anxiety now that I'm going to leave or they're not going to be with me, that they can't be fully absorbed in being with me. They're too much absorbed in the fact that I might leave. So he thought that if I leave Vrindavan, then they won't be in anxiety that I'm going to leave because I've already gone, and they'll just be able to remember me. And through that remembrance of me, then they will feel my presence more. So that's one of the reasons why Krishna left Vrindavan, is so the inhabitants of Vrindavan wouldn't be in anxiety and they would be able to associate with Krishna through his remembrance, and not just through his remembrance, but it was actually Krishna present there within their minds. There was more things I could have said, I wanted to say, but time is up. Thank you very much for your attention. Does anybody have any questions or comments or corrections briefly? Yes, Sita Papuru.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very nice class. I was just wondering on this point of seeing Krishna or thinking you've seen Krishna, but as devotees, we're also encouraged to try to see Krishna acting in our life. Like, devotees often say, like, oh, Krishna arranged that and Krishna did this and Krishna appeared in this way. So I'm just wondering about that. Like, on one hand, that seems to be a very helpful thing to try to see that, yeah, every day Krishna is appearing in my life, Krishna is there. But on another hand, sometimes it can feel a little presumptuous or proud that, you know, like, who am I? Like, why would Krishna even come to me? Like, you know, and And is it that I should just feel that I'm who am I? Why would Krishna come to me? If I became qualified, then Krishna would really reciprocate with me and appear in my life. But because I'm so fallen, therefore Krishna is not there. But then on another hand, you think like, no, we should see Krishna is there. Krishna is there every step of the way. So I'm just wondering if you had any light on that. Like, here it's very clear, Prabhupada says, the Goswamis, hey Radhe, they were looking for Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Krishna is not in front of me. So should we be thinking Krishna is acting in our life, or should we feel like, I'm so unqualified, Krishna is not in my life, and if I became qualified?
Yeah, I think that we have to see Krishna in our life, and that is what Krishna consciousness is all about. That's what Bhagavad Gita is all about, seeing Krishna in everything. So wherever we go, and it's amazing, like the training that we get in Krishna consciousness, that if you practice Krishna consciousness seriously, and say you live in the temple for some years and then you move out, it's so ingrained in your mind, you know, that you can't not see Krishna, and everything that happens to you, you see that this is Krishna, it's Krishna is doing this, Krishna is doing that. So we're trained in that way. We have to see everything as Krishna's arrangement. You have to. Otherwise, that's not Krishna consciousness. Everything is Krishna's arrangement. Krishna says, ye yatam mam papadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham mamavat manivatante manushya pata sarvashaha. That was that? As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. What's the next bit? Yeah, everyone follows my path in all respects, so Sanaputta. So everything is Krishna's arrangement. Everything is happening according to Krishna's design. I think as practicing devotees, we have to see that, and we have to try to see that. That's the effort of devotees, that something happens to me, or my mother got sick and died of cancer. It's Krishna's mercy somehow or another, or this happened or that happened. It's Krishna's mercy. We have to see that. And in one sense, we're not insignificant or forgotten. We're Krishna's sons and daughters, and Krishna loves us dearly. So he's arranging everything for us. So we see Krishna in these things. And I think that feeling of separation, like the Goswamis are experiencing, is a higher platform in devotional service, that it comes in time. And that's also Krishna's presence. Like if one experiences it, then you feel the pain of, you know, you feel I'm very fallen and I'm hopeless, you know, I'm just full of terrible qualities and inadequate and, wow, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with this? There's nothing I can do, and just it's only Krishna that can save me. Then that's a natural mood that devotees develop in time, and it will become stronger, and it will become stronger and stronger. And we see that with advanced devotees, like with Raghunath Das Goswami in Vilapaka Samanjali. It's mentioned in Navavaja Mahima. It's not just mentioned, actually. My spiritual master took the whole of Navavaja Sri Vilapaka Samanjali and put it in Navavaja Mahima, the whole book, in an appendix, I think. So it's all about Raghunath Das Goswami feeling separation from Srimati Radharani. And it gets to the point where he's suffering so much in separation that he can't live anymore without Radharani, and then he leaves his body and he goes back to her. So it's a natural progression of devotees when we practice devotional service, that I think it's at the point of asakti, that it doesn't become, it's not that I'm practicing devotional service and I feel good, I feel better, you know, I chant and I don't suffer so much, or when I come to the temple then I'm relieved of my material anxieties, and so I like chanting, I like serving. But it becomes a personal attachment to Krishna, that I love Krishna and that he's the one that's actually helping me. And it's him I'm attached to, not just his names or his devotional service, but him. And then when we become attached to him, then we want to see him, we want to serve him, we want to be with him. But at the moment, we're not. We're here in his form of a deity, but we can't, you know, we're not there with him actively. So that mood of separation will come naturally when devotees are more advanced. And that is a form of connecting with Krishna. Because as soon as you're remembering Krishna, then you're connected to him. Krishna's not different than his pastimes or his remembrance. It's like when devotees remembering Krishna's pastimes, it's not like you're just remembering Krishna's pastimes. That is Krishna's pastimes, because he's non-different than anything that's connected to him. So if you think of Krishna in Vrindavan, then he's there. Two different degrees to how advanced one is, but it's absolute. It's not like you're just thinking of it. It's actually Krishna. So if you're feeling that separation from Krishna, he's there, and it's a form of connection. But it would be dangerous for devotees to, I think, for devotees to think, Krishna's not present in my life because I'm too unqualified. No, we are unqualified. Krishna is in the heart of all the conditioned souls who are performing so many sinful activities right now. He's the one enabling them to do those activities. He's there giving them the empowerment to eat meat or do whatever they want to do. So he's there in everybody's life. And the feeling of separation, I think, is on a slightly higher platform and something that we need to cultivate. And that's also why this is given, this mood of separation, is because it is something that we can cultivate. That these great souls, they speak like that, that I can't see Krishna, where is Krishna? Because that opens up the doors for us also to follow in the same mood, because we can't see Krishna. We're also in that same mood, where is Krishna? I can't see him, I'm so fallen. If the Goswamis were saying, I saw this pastime of Krishna today, I was in Krishna's pastimes today, which they do experience, you know, they're absorbed in Krishna's lila, his pastimes, then we would think, you know, well, that's nice for you, but what about me? But this mood of separation opens it up for everybody. You follow that mood, you cultivate that mood, and then you can also develop in that way. That was a long, convoluted comment. Did that help at all? Anything else? Yes, Mataji?
And if we do not have
maybe just get the mic, so we have lots of people listening online probably.
Hare Krishna. And if we do feel these feelings of confusion, if Krishna is with us or is not with us, and we feel this way, then it's always the philosophy that we can fall back to. If we are overwhelmed by feelings of insecurity, if Krishna is with us or not, or this or that, if we open a book of Srila Prabhupada, in every sentence there is Krishna. If we try to understand what Prabhupada is saying and ask others, what does it mean? Understand, not just reading it for any other reason, but understand it. Krishna is there. So that is also Krishna's mercy, this beautiful philosophy that beats every philosophy in the world. I know, I come from Greece, and Greeks are very proud for their ancient philosophy. So, but there is nothing like Krishna consciousness philosophy. So we can always do that. And another thing I wanted to say, Prabhu, and thank you mentioned about confession, is that confession is, in Christianity, a very good thing, and in every religion. The only problem with confession is that after people confess to a rascal, they go back and do all the sins that they were doing before, because by confessing to a rascal, they didn't get inspired to stop sinning. So it's a kind of a cheating, but as a principle, confession is very good. And in our philosophy, we have this confession as revealing one's mind in confidence. This is confession for us. Mm. Finding a devotee that we trust, that they are more advanced than us, and they have a sweet mood towards us. Because unless someone is sweet towards you, you cannot open your heart to confess. And then confess. And that's beautiful. I feel so grateful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mother. Yeah. In one sense, it would be good to have confession, that be held accountable for what we do. We just, devotees get initiated, and then who knows what they're doing. Come every week, you have to tell somebody what you've been doing, then accountability. But obviously not something you can implement. This has to be voluntary. Yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. I just have this question about feeling of separation again. So as far as I understand, there are at least two or three types of these feelings of separation. And one is like material separation when non-devotees don't see Krishna, but this kind of separation is like based on forgetfulness and lack of knowledge. Because actually we see Krishna, Krishna is no different from his form and name, but materialists just don't know it. So this is one kind of separation. The second kind of separation is, if I understood it correctly, that when we don't physically see Krishna, but we follow his instructions. So that's a devotee is following instruction of his guru, but he is not physically with the guru is not physically present. And the third kind of separation that what you described is like this transcendental separation out of intense feelings of love. That's the highest level probably of separation. So, and I don't know, just for me, I mean, my question is like, how not to get confused by the emotions that come, like from that. On one hand, we actually see Krishna every day. I mean, the deity and chanting. On the other hand, like this, sometimes overcome by emotion, but actually I don't really see Krishna. So.
We come to the temple every day and we see Krishna, but then sometimes you feel that you don't see Krishna. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, that's good. You're thinking of Krishna. Come to the temple, you see Krishna, that's Sambhoga, then you're meeting Krishna. And you're thinking sometimes, yeah, I'm not connected to Krishna or I don't see Krishna. Then that's good. My spiritual master would say to devotees, you should, when you go away from the deities, then you should try and cultivate that mood of separation that, okay, Just be conscious of that. I'm not with them now. I'm not seeing them. I have their darshan, and just try and remember them when you're not with them as well. That mood of separation is conducive for devotional service. So we do get to experience some sambhoga here in the temple, and we should be grateful for it, because there's many devotees who don't get to come to the temple every day, or don't live in the temple, or don't live close by, and they experience that separation from devotees. We were in Ashford for the last year and a half, the holy birthplace of Smara Hari Prabhu. We went on pilgrimage. And there's no morning program. You get up in the morning, you just chant your rounds. There's no kirtan with devotees. There's no darshan. There's no mahaprasadam. It's a big loss. So when we're not with the deities, then we should try and remember and cultivate that relationship. And also when we are here, try to cultivate a personal relationship with the deities. It's not that I just take darshan from 4:30 to 5 o'clock, then it's finished, then darshan from 7 till 7:30, and then I go, and then it's like, he's not a cinema. You know, you come and like watch the deities. He is a person. So yeah, praying and remembering him, as Prabhupada mentioned, that helps to develop this relationship, and to do some service for the deities, bring them some flowers, bring them some gifts, and try to understand that they're actually a person. But everything in relationship to Krishna is good. So if you're feeling happiness when seeing the deities, that's great. If you're feeling separation and thinking, I don't have a relationship with Krishna, that's also great. It's all in relationship to Krishna. Even Kamsa achieved liberation through thinking of Krishna inimically. I should learn this verse. It's from the Bhagavatam, and it says that the gopis became purified even by their lust in connection to Krishna, though it's not really lust, it's transcendental love. But Kubja, she was lusting after Krishna. She wanted to enjoy Krishna. She didn't want to serve Krishna. She wanted to enjoy him. But she got purified by that. So anything in relationship to Krishna is good. Is that okay?
Thank you very much.
Brief answer. Okay, I think we should finish there. It's way over time. Thank you for your attention. Grant to us Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.